celebrating micro, small and medium enterprises right here. Tali ke saath business ki baat.
Hello and hi, you're with me Niharika on Tally Ke Saath Business Ki Baat, and we're back with another interesting conversation for you on this episode. So this conversation has a lot of drama and theatrics to it, primarily because we're going to be talking about The Hive. Now The Hive is a Dubai-based company which teaches the art of drama and theater to children. And they work in accordance with the Trinity College London curriculum. And since early 2019, The Hive is being headed by Malvika Vardhan, and Malvika happens to be our special guest for this episode.
Hi Malvika, and welcome to the Tally podcast. How are you this morning, and how's work? How's everything else?
Oh, everything's great. But yeah, to begin with, just tell us in a nutshell about your journey, about how you started, and what's the basic idea of The Hive?
Okay, so The Hive is essentially a place, it's a space to be for young people to come rehearse, jam, learn, and essentially overcome any fright that they might have of stage. It is a space that allows them to develop a love for stage. So when we say that, what we mean is that we teach drama and we teach public speaking. So these are the two sort of areas that we use to get kids to get up on stage and find their voice and then use their voice to talk about things that they feel passionately about. We're tied up with the Trinity College of London, so we train towards those exams and we use their syllabus. We put up a lot of productions and plays. So essentially kids who have a longer journey with us, over their years with The Hive, will do multiple things. They'll be part of monologue nights. They might be part of voice acting projects. In fact, we did one yesterday. They'll be part of lots of plays. They'll be under the lights wearing costumes with sound and an audience and all that mad and fun stuff. They'll be doing a lot of public speaking, which is essentially getting up on stage and doing sort of TED Talk like speeches, where they'll be able to choose their topics and then structure their thoughts and deliver their content in a way that is impactful and that is good storytelling and that moves an audience.
Maya, that sounds like a lot. And that sounds very But tell me one thing. It's all for children. So what is the earliest age that you can enroll a child at? And also, can anyone be a theater artist, or do you have to have some qualities inborn in you to be one?
Great question. You can start at the age of 4. That's our youngest. We believe that every child was born with the ability to be a theater artist. It is our job to protect that. So it's not about us lighting the flame, it's about us keeping the flame alive. So yes, we have all kinds of kids who are with us. There are the slightly shyer ones, the more introspective ones, the loud ones, the ones who love seeing their own reflection in the mirror. So all the different kinds of kids come to us, and we find a way to channel all of that energy into being actors and thinkers, readers and speakers.
And that sounds superb, you know, and the way you put it, that we have to protect the flame. So the flame is already there and you have to protect it. Can you protect it in adults as well? And this is where I bring it, the Hive at Corporates program. Because theater and corporates are poles apart, and you wouldn't really think of going to work and getting to watch, say, a play or maybe be a part of one. So how does that work?
So there's a lot of different kinds of work we do with corporates. And it's an interesting question you ask. I think with adults, at least in the very, very corporate space, what has happened is that over time, that flame has kind of died down and it has become a little bit of a flicker. So it's our job to reignite that. It's funny that you say that we don't think of theater as you know, part of your work day, but actually when you're making a presentation or you're in front of an you know, a client, what are you doing? You're essentially acting, right? You're putting up a theatrical show, you're telling a story, you're getting your client and your audience to engage with you, whether that be your boardroom or whether that's your team or whether that's your client to whom you're selling a project. You have to add a level of theatrics and drama and storytelling to be able to make this other person feel ki wah, what an idea, I want to buy into it. The other thing we do with corporates is actually along the training lines. So sometimes if you're doing a training for your employees, you may feel like you want to simulate a certain experience, right? For example, let's say you run a bank and you want to show this audience, who's all of your employees, what do you do when a customer gets this angry that he picks up something on your desk and throws it on the ground? Now, you're not going to wait until the next angry customer comes in and irritate him so much. What you do instead is we'll get an actor to come in and play the role. And from that simulation and from that role play, you will be able to learn a lot from it. And then you will be able to suggest to the actor, hey, would you like to try this? Or maybe we should have dealt with it in this way. And then that person will then mold themselves.
Got it. Absolutely. In fact, that makes a lot more sense now that, you know, instead of just reading pages and pages of theory during a corporate training or instead of just listening to somebody present it or to a trainer talk to us one way in a monologue fashion, it's much more useful to have people participate and to simulate situations. Very interesting though. Okay, so we've seen a revolution of sorts in the past 2 years, as in the world order that we knew no longer exists, right? It's the new normal. So what was it like for the theater industry in particular during COVID, and how has that taken shape post-COVID now that we're opening up and now that certain theaters are holding performances as well? So how does that happen?
The theater industry was enormously affected, I think, and continues to be affected in places like India. Dubai took at least a year before it could even begin to think about doing a show. I remember in the year of 2020, we had slated to do a whole bunch of performances in the month of June, and we had to just put everything on hold. We were able to do a few shows in December, again to like a quarter of the audience, with social distancing and with everybody wearing masks. So it was very different to what we had expected. Even our rehearsals, our blocking, the way our actors moved on stage, like everything had to change. We had to do PCR tests on all the kids before they got on stage. And it was like, sometimes the logistical nightmare of doing something like that is a lot, but we were able to pull through. And in June of this year, actually, we went back to bigger than full capacity and we did the biggest theater festival in the region with 17 plays and one short film, 200 actors and 1,400 audience. So we were already back in full swing by June.
Wow. That's great to know, in fact. So, you know, anybody who's looking to start a theater-related company doesn't necessarily have to be a company that produces plays, but they could be doing a lot of other stuff, like, for example, you do. For example, you work with corporates and you have public speaking programs. Mm-hmm. So that one starting point in this post-COVID era or in this, you know, new normal, so to say?
I actually feel that if we can borrow some things from the corporate world, some ideas of how to manage money, how to sort of build enough of a profile of one kind of work so that it funds another kind of work, how to position ourselves as beyond just artists, to be able to see what value we can bring to other people's lives. I think this positioning, this branding, this work of understanding the market is extremely important. Do you know what I mean? If I were to do only one kind of theater, which I want to do, which only 5 people in the city want to watch, there's no way that I'm going to be able to grow to the scale that I'm growing now. So I have to understand, like, what does the market want? As an artist, how am I able to bring value to that? How can I build my team and build my structure in such a way that I'm not compromising on the quality of my art and yet I'm able to deliver, you know, to these needs? And once that's done, I think then it's just a joyous journey from there.
So on that note, Malvika, I feel it's time for a short break. We've got some food for thought to think about and to mull over, and that's what we'll do during this break. But it's a very quick one, right? So we'll be right back. You don't go anywhere. Managing cash flow is a major challenge for small businesses, right? Well, here's a tip. By tracking and managing your outstandings well, you can stay in control of cash flow easily. To get to know of more such useful advice directly from small business owners, tune into our podcast.
Your very own MSME Success Story Show. Tali ke saath, business ki baat.
And with that, we are back in conversation with our special guest, Malvika, today. So, Malvika, let's talk about the next 10 years, you know. Now that we've emerged from a pandemic and now the theatre industry particularly has gotten back on its feet, or it's in the process of at least getting back to its old usual self, right? So, how do you think that is going to affect where the industry is in the next 10 years? I mean, where do you see it going?
So, I don't really see myself as a theatre company. I see myself more as a training school for kids, a little bit more on the public speaking and theater classes as a after school program or as part of in curriculum. So for us, I feel like, especially from a kid's perspective, right, this is our bread and butter. I feel like studying the arts, right, doing things like music class, dance class, movement, creativity, writing, theater, anything to do with exploring your creative side is going to become more and more and more and more and more important as the years go by. Because I can see in the adults who are my age today, who have kids who are 4 and 5 and 10, I can see that they are starting to understand what we lacked in our education. And what did we lack? We lacked places where we could be creative, which is why we have so many people in their 30s and 40s who are not risk takers and who are not, you know, people who are willing to like try something brand new, who are very shaken by change. Whereas what does art teach you actually? Art teaches you how to take risks. It teaches you how to be agile. It teaches you how to like, you know, just jump in and try something and don't think too much about it and just give it a go and improvise. So I think those skills, which is what the arts teaches, are going to become more and more important in kids nowadays, you know. Even just something quite basic like public speaking, you know, how many adults I meet who say ki, I just don't want my kids to go through what I'm going through right now, which is I have many ideas at work, but I feel like scared to put my hand up and speak. Or I'm the leader in my industry, but you put me on stage and ask me to talk to a room full of people, I'll get so scared. So I just say no to keynote speaker opportunities and, you know, opportunities to make presentations to my industry. So that is something that I think is going to be a very important part of future education.
Wonderful. I think that also gives me an individualistic kind of perspective, as you know how we as individuals are going to evolve using the skills that theater gives us or public speaking gives us. So I think you've given us both. You've given us an industry perspective also, and you've also given us a perspective from the individual's point of view. So I'm sure running a theater company or, you know, running a company which is into so many different forms of theater, if I can put it that way, must not be easy. What does a typical day in your life look like at the Hive? And what does, the workplace at Hive look like?
So we have a very interesting workplace. We're an all-woman team, by the way. So we are actually 6 women and 1 little boy because one of our teachers brings her son to class. So we're 6 women, 1 little boy, lots of mess, lots of hairpins, lots of clips, lots of laughing, lots of food. We all eat together. So that's a tradition that I really kind of hold very dear to my heart. So I take food from home for the whole team and we all eat lunch together every day to the best of our ability. We try and keep that tradition going. My days at the Hive actually start at home. I do a little bit of the business development and social media stuff in the first half of the day. And then I head into the Hive in the afternoon. A lot of the administrative work happens in the afternoon, you know, things like pay this electricity and water bill and, you know, figure out what's going on with this parent or this registration or this admin fee or whatever. And then I start teaching by about 3:30, and then I teach till 9 in the night. So I do a 12-hour workday, essentially, with a lot of laughing. And our space at the Hive is essentially, it's a huge, beautiful yellow room. It's lined with books. So there is no part of the studio you can look at without seeing books. So there are books of every shape, size and color meant for every age. And I believe very strongly that reading is what really transforms young people. So I try everything in my power to get them to read more.
So moving on to the next thing on my mind, I've been wondering about the policy side of things, right? In the sense that we might have a few laws and rules in place that might make the theater industry more conducive as a whole. So what's your take on that? Do you think we can do better in that area?
Absolutely we can, both in India and in the UAE. I think we have a long way to go before we can say we are truly, truly encouraging the arts in every way possible. If you look at some of the countries that produce really fantastic artistic work, right? And whether that be music or movement or theater or writing. It's about creating space for artists. Now, artists need space. I'll tell you what I mean by that. If you want to put up a play or if you want to have a show, as an artist, it's a very big risk that you're taking, that people will buy tickets and come and watch this. Now, you've got to remember that you are basically competing with the likes of Netflix, right? Which have these enormous amounts of money and are charging you next to nothing to get world-class entertainment. So if I can get 1 month of movies for 35 dirhams versus if I have to spend 100 dirhams on going to watch a play, you can imagine what, like from a purely business point of view, what that could mean to the artist who's taking the risk. So what can we do as a city? We can, I think, A, create more spaces where artists can go and get a space, a stage at a more reasonable cost. And even if it's not every day of the week, I think a few days or a few seasons where artists can take the stage without having the pain of the costs hanging over their heads, that would make a huge difference. And I think secondly, it's also about creating a culture and an environment that makes artists feel like they can express themselves. We always call the Hive a safe space. We call it a safe space because we feel that kids can come here and they can truly express themselves. They can say what's on their mind. They can write, they can feel, they can think as they please. And it is the job of every country, every government, every city, and every person involved in building culture to allow for that safe space to happen for other artists. And that could mean, you know, putting policies in place. It could mean lifting the barrier that stands between people and you know, the culture itself. It can mean just making the space more accessible. And sometimes when I say more accessible, I literally mean a ramp or I literally mean a bus. Because, you know, sometimes these are the things that actually keep us from creating art. So if we want to build in the next 100 years fantastic art, we need to first enable it. And enabling it is something that everybody is responsible for.
Well, those were also the perfect closing remarks for this episode, I would say. Thank you so much on that note, Malvika, for joining us for this chat. I think it's been a great learning experience because we got to learn so much about the theatre industry and we're getting to take away so much about it from you, right? Thank you so much once more for sparing your time for us and for joining us here today.
Thank you so much.
Also, before we finally sign off, I must tell you that the next episode of the podcast series drops very soon, so you've got to stay tuned for that. And don't forget to like, share and subscribe to the podcast series as well. So if you like this episode, press the like button and let us know in the comments below what you liked about this chat, about this conversation. And I'll be back next time with another interesting conversation with another special guest. So you've got to stay tuned for that. This is me, Niharika, saying goodbye to you.
Celebrating micro, small and medium enterprises. Right here. Tali ke saath, business ki baat.